Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer Matt Tremont, and if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of his
cowboy, guys. All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is January 15th, 2014. Welcome to some blog show run by some Mark. This is Yakuza Kick Radio, and I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. I got a bunch of stuff to talk about tonight. I think I'm just going to start out, and this is really going to be short and sweet. More or less got to give like a rest in peace shout out, I guess I'm going to call it, to Mae Young. And, you know, because honestly, I'm not a historian. I'm not going to really be able to give her the proper, you know, credit for all the things she's done. She was a pioneer. She did a lot to, you know, change women's wrestling, and obviously hung around longer than anybody else could, you know, showed up even at 80 years old, taking a powerbomb through a table and all sorts of things. But I mean, obviously, you know, her earlier part of her career, she accomplished a tremendous amount of things. And, you know, so, I mean, rest in peace to her. Like I said, I can't really, you know, go into tremendous steps because I'm not a historian. So it's just not my deal. But, yeah, rest in peace to her. I believe she was 90 years old. So it's quite a run. One thing on the same topic that actually, you know, I can talk a little bit more about because I knew them a little more personally. This is obviously unrelated to wrestling or people for that matter. Today we actually had to bury our, for, you know, people who know that I work at an animal shelter / zoo, and we had to bury our camel today. And, you know, it's pretty sad. She was 20-something years old. We had her for a little over 10 years, and she was cool as hell. She was this giant camel. Really didn't have that much interaction with camels in the past prior to that. And, you know, you stand next to her. I mean, this is a large, large animal. You don't realize how big these things are until... And actually, at some other zoos, I've seen camels that just weren't nearly the size of her. I guess it's a different breed or something. But, yeah, she was huge. And, name is Princess. She came to us about 10 years ago. And, yeah, just super friendly. You could bring anybody in or around her and stuff. People would, you know, put graham crackers in her mouth. She'd eat them out of their mouth and stuff. And, you know, that whole thing. But, we actually did a gimmick with her, too, where she would pick the football games. So they would put, you know, the zoo director would write a football game, you know, the name of a team on each hand. Like just say the Giants were playing the Patriots, you know, he'd write the Giants on one hand, Patriots on the other, put a graham cracker in each hand, whichever one she ate, boom, that would be the team she picked and shit. And she actually had like a pretty, you know, pretty good run of just like, you know, lighting it up with picks, obviously. It's random. But she's actually undefeated in picking Super Bowls over all these years. So she was 3 weeks off of, you know, possibly repeating that same type of thing. So, yeah, you know, she got a bunch of news coverage and media coverage for that. But, yeah, I mean, she was just a super, super cool camel. So, yeah, they buried her today. I guess she, you know, over time, yeah, health started to wear down. And I think camels can get up into, like, their 40s, but she was, you know, late 20s. And, you know, had a good run with us. And, yeah, she was awesome. So that I can say a little bit about. WWE, this actually was happening when I was doing last week's show. They announced their TV network, the WWE network. You know, $9.99 a month, and it includes pay-per-views, 24-hour programming, includes pay-per-views, obviously, you know, being their own network, cable network. It's also, you know, can be uncensored at whatever times they want, so they could show various ratings of various shows at, you know, whatever times. And, you know, this has been talked about for a few years now, but now that it's come to reality, the possibilities are really endless. You got to think TNA is just about done. I mean, this network's going to run a couple months and just bury TNA in the ratings. Like, they can line up whatever they want with TNA's time slot and then just bury them. You know, all the categories that they have that they can play things from, and the different, you know, federations. They own so many libraries. I think libraries is what I was going for there. They own so many libraries, it's ridiculous. And, you know, with the money that Vince has, anything he doesn't own, he could buy out if he really, really wanted to. But owning the WCW library, owning the, you know, the ECW stuff, I believe he owns all of that now. Yeah, I mean, he just has pulled to play whatever he wants. And, you know, plus a bunch of original programming. They're supposed to do some Legends House thing and, like, you know, all those little, you know, reality show type stuff. Things, but just being able to do all that, you know, different programming and playing old stuff, and you know, just really, really going in, because 24 hours, I mean, you could fill a lot of time with a lot of different things. So, you know, it's very interesting and exciting. You know, it's been talked about for a while. Like I said, the biggest thing about the whole thing, I think, is the pay-per-views are included, and they already said that WrestleMania is absolutely part of that. So. And I don't know if that's a short-term thing or a long-term thing, but I know as far as they go right now, all pay-per-views are included, which is tremendous. I mean, when you look at, you know, $50, $60 for one pay-per-view that they're charging, which is fucking robbery, that'll pay for almost 6 months of your service. If you were to pay for one of those pay-per-views, that would pay a half a year worth of what you'd be paying for these guys. So it's crazy. It's really fucking crazy. I think WrestleMania last year was like $70 or something for the high def, whatever the fuck, on my TV. So, yeah, I mean, pay $10 and actually get that shit, that's insane. And the capabilities of also being able to stream through on your tablets and stuff. So not only to be able to get, you know, WrestleMania or Rumble or whatever the case is, I think it's going to be coming out after Rumble, so, but, could be wrong on that, but I believe so. And then, you know, any pay-per-view I want, I could actually sit outside, fucking iPad, sit there, watch a WWE pay-per-view outside by the fire or something, which I'm a big fan of. You know, anything that doesn't lock you down to your TV or your computer or something, you're able to kind of travel around with it. Makes it a lot more accessible and, you know, just a better idea, you know, really, broadens your horizons, so to speak. But yeah, I'm excited about that. I think it's pretty cool. I haven't heard a single wrestling fan that thinks it's a bad idea, or you know, pretty much everybody's interested in it. So that's what's up there. Let me see, what else do I got? Obviously going to talk a little playoffs a little later. I'm going to go over the CZW show in a little bit. I listened to watched the DJ Hyde shoot, and you know, I got through all whatever 7 hours of it. And I'm going to go over that next week. I'm going to go into the whole DJ Hyde shoot next week. So, and actually, you know, I guess I'll just jump on that right now. Actually, in a few weeks, DJ is going to be on the show. I have a ton of questions for him and, you know, follow-up questions from the shoot. But beyond that, mostly just already questions that I had and were not answered in the shoot. And, yeah, I have a lot to touch on with DJ. It should be a very, very entertaining show. You know, I mean, one thing I'll give him is, you know, he knows that people criticize him, but he's pretty much open to answer whatever it is that people's issues are, or whatever the, you know, like I said, whatever their issues or criticisms are, he's pretty open to hearing it. So, should be interesting, you know. It is a company I highly support. So it's not like, you know, I've ever bashed CZW just for the sake of doing it or trying to bury them or anything like that. It's, you know, I've definitely given more money to the CZW product and company than any other indie company, or really any company, because I don't pay for a whole lot of WWE anything. So, you know, honestly, it's all done out of, you know, support, you know, whether I like it or I don't like it or whatever. It's just kind of being honest about shit. One thing I wanted to touch on, and, you know, this was the thing that, you know, when you get into these shoots, these seven-hour things or whatever, and that round table was another one of those super long things, I, you know, didn't get a chance to really hit on everything I wanted to hit on off of that. So here and there, something will just pop into my head, and I'll have to go back into it. Something that stuck out, and I forgot to talk about it last week, was they got into a topic of talking about draws and what draws and indie draws and this and that. And they, you know, they went on and saying the Necro Butcher was the last indie draw. And while I will absolutely agree that the Necro Butcher was a draw, I think they're completely missing the point with that. I don't think that that's anywhere near the last indie draw or the only indie draw even at the time. Because I think when it comes down to it, it's not a draw of a masses that would not watch a CZW product to begin with. I mean, let's be honest, what it comes down to, really, a draw is what keeps the fans showing up that are into that product, like me. Like, if I was going to a CZW show monthly like I was for fucking 10 years, what made me want to show up? And what would I look forward to the very most? You know, what when a card came up right now, what would be the thing that I went, oh, shit, what is such and such doing? What do they got them doing on the card and shit? And I'll tell you 100%, for a long fucking time, that was Nick Gage. What's Nick Gage booked in? Well, who's he fighting? This and that. And then you would get your random fucking the time where he was on fire, and it was all about his promos. He was just killing it. Is, you know, they'd put him online and shit, or, you know, he would do whatever in the ring, and he was definitely CZW's Stone Cold Steve Austin for a long time. So in the realm of being a draw for CZW, Nick Gage was absolutely a draw. Because, again, I'm talking about draw to the fans that CZW caters to. Those people all day were showing up for Nick Gage. You listen to the ovation that he would get, fucking Nick fucking Gage, who's the fucking man. You know, the reaction that Nick Gage would get, he was absolutely a fucking draw. You know, at the time, way back, fucking Nick Mondo was a draw. You know, the reaction he was getting at Tournament of Death, you know, when he retired. But even, you know, leading up to that, he got a humongous buzz. And this is, you know, of course, Necro, when he was, you know, in his, you know, Necro Samoa Joe and around that time and, you know, before that time, for a year or two, you know, about a year or two span covering that time period around that. He was on fire, and absolutely fans would, you know, come in for him and would be looking at, you know, what's Nick Gage doing this month and stuff like that. So I honestly think that's more of the definition of draw and, you know, who's actually a draw or what's going on there. And, I mean, more recently, you know, before he went to the WWE, Sammy was the draw. Sammy all day was fucking just murdering it on the CZW cards, and people were, okay, including myself, what's he doing? Okay, they got him up against Drake. Okay, they got him up against this. And you wanted to see what they were doing. To a lot of the CZW fans, Masada was the draw. So they would bring in every other attraction they could and put him up against their draw. What's Masada going to do against El Generico? What's Masada going to do against Davey Richards? I mean, honestly, whatever you would consider one of your main attractions on your card, I would consider to be your draw. I mean, this isn't fucking PWS where it's like, we have a fucking mediocre locker room and then we're just going to stick fucking Mr. Belding on the card, or we're going to fucking book Sergeant Slaughter or the Million Dollar Man. Those are our draws because people heard of them. Or we're going to book this guy, or we're going to book that guy. That's not the same thing. I mean, those are the draws for those companies like that, because that's what it is. And, you know, they have some talent in their locker room. I'm not just trying to say they're mediocre overall, even though a lot of their talent is shit. You know, they have their fucking 13 match cards and half of them are students, and then, you know, you get your couple solid indie guys, and then you get, you know, fucking TV people who come in and just do, you know, pretty much nothing match, filler matches, but they could be at the top of the card, they could be wherever, and, you know, it's just because, again, it's a name, and that's I think the difference in draw. People like to just, you know, throw that term around, and of course they're talking about, you know, your top names and who's going to draw and who's going to draw and who can you put on the poster. But I think when it comes down to a draw for a company, it's what makes that company a draw to their fans. And that's just my opinion there. There was a good amount of time too where the Blackout was a draw when they were doing the fucking crazy shit. Ruckus had the, the weed leaf belt, and they were fucking doing shit coming out, strippers and fucking ATVs and dragging Nate Hatred off and shit. That was like a big, big deal. What's going to go on with these guys? What are they going to be up to this month? And it was always something. And I mean, Blackout shirts all over the crowd, people with signs, this and that. They came prepared to see that shit. You know what I mean? And it crosses many, many lines, and it could go, you know, every 6 months or every year, you could see a different, what you would consider a draw to that company. And, of course, I'm just talking CZW, but, that goes across every company. You know, Jay Briscoe might be the draw in ROH, and the reason why people are showing up, because, shit, what's Jay Briscoe going to be booked in? Who's he going to wrestle this month, man? He's been killing it. I want to see who the fuck Jay Briscoe is going to wrestle this month. That's a draw. I mean, you're drawing fans by doing that. There's fans of CZW, or there's fans of Ring of Honor, or there's fans of wherever you're talking about. And they're being drawn in by that guy being on the card and being their consistent guy who's doing what they like to see. And they're drawn in by it. So I just thought that statement was retarded. And, when I heard it, and I just wanted to go over, like, my opinion on what I actually feel a draw is. And honestly, right now, what I would consider my draw in CZW is Chris Dickinson. Right now, what he's doing on every show that he puts a match on, I'm into it. I want to see who they're going to book him up against next. They were bringing the AJ. I'm like, fuck, man, I'd love to see Dickinson versus AJ. Now, them doing Drew Gulak versus AJ is honestly makes more sense, and it's 100% a great idea, and I think it's going to be a great match. And it also helps strengthen the title by bringing in other names and, you know, title defense against AJ Styles. I have nothing against that whatsoever. But, then it immediately starts my gears turning. Well, shit, they got Drake coming in. Drake versus Dickinson, fucking do that shit. You know what I mean? Like, it makes me keep thinking, like, who else could they put him up against? Like, that's it. Him versus Biff Busick, I thought was great.
again, I'll go into that in a little bit. But, yeah, that's my opinion of a draw. I think it's ridiculous to look at it any other way because are you trying to draw to a WWE crowd? Well, then maybe there is no draws in CZW. But I don't think that's what they're trying to do. Are you trying to draw to the CZW fans? Well, then I think you have draws. So that, you know, that's just my opinion there. Let me see what else do I got. Best of the Best is going to be coming up in a few months. I definitely want to talk about that. But I think I'm going to hold that off because I had planned on writing down what I would like to see realistically booked for Best of the Best as far as the talent and stuff. And I'll put it together and I'll probably go over that next week or something. And then, you know, as we get closer, obviously we'll see what's possible and what's not. I mean, I know everybody likes to go get fucking Kota Ibushi, get fucking Prince Devitt, get Adam Cole and get this one and that one. And like, they just, bring Loki back and get this one and get, I mean, I know you can fantasize and shit, but I'm talking like realistic. Mostly guys in the company, and then add your couple fly-ins. And not even fly-ins like a Kota Ibushi, because honestly, it's most likely not going to happen. So keep your fly-ins at something reasonable that's been done before through CZW, and maybe a company that they work with, or maybe somebody that you'd like to see back, or something. You know, you got to kind of be realistic, otherwise you just, you know, you're kind of kidding yourself with the dream bookings on these tournaments. But, you know, I'll see what I could, think up and just what I'd like to see as far as a realistic Best of the Best this year. So, I guess we'll get into the playoffs real quick. Playoffs. Let me pull up the, there we go. All right, the first game was the Seahawks beat the Saints 23-15. Now, this was a game mostly owned by the Seahawks. The Saints, they made a late comeback, but, I mean, the Seahawks were more or less dominating. They were definitely putting on a pretty good performance against them, and it didn't look like the Saints had too much of a chance in most of the game. But, I mean, quite honestly, this is Seattle in Seattle. And as a San Francisco fan, I got to look at Seattle weaknesses. Russell Wilson threw for 103 yards. 9 for 18, 103 yards, no touchdowns. You know, Marshawn Lynch went in 140 yards, ran for 2 touchdowns. So there's a majority of your game right there. But, you know, Drew Brees threw for 309 yards against him. And when it came down to the end of the game, the Saints kicked the onside, all that type of thing. We're right about to go and drive down and at least have a chance at one last Hail Mary. Now, you know, I mean, you're talking about one of the best defenses in football. You know, good luck with the Hail Mary. But it's Drew Brees. That ball gets caught. 2-point conversion is possible. You're talking about, you know, a tie ball game there. Tie ball game. They needed 8 points. And Marcus Colston did the biggest dickhead move you could do. He caught the ball over by the sideline, and if they would have dipped outside, they were already close enough to fire up that Hail Mary. Well, he tried some tricky shit, but to start lateraling the ball, that's a rough word. I think that's a word in that context. Either way, lateraling the ball. And to start doing that is one thing. Obviously, slim chance of you pulling the shit off, but it's one thing. You know, goddamn well you got to turn around to fucking lateral the ball. The motherfucker's got to be behind you. This dude threw the ball straight upfield, like 5 yards ahead of him across the field. There isn't a chance in hell he thought that shit was backwards. There isn't. I don't know what the fuck went on with him when he panicked. I don't know if he just decided he's a fucking Seahawks fan.
I don't know what the fuck he's decided, but he threw the ball fucking 5 yards up the field on the other side. Because when you're facing the end zone, you know, the field's in front of you, and you only look up diagonal but still looking towards the end zone and throw the ball, you got to know you fucked up. I mean, I don't know. I would love to hear exactly what that dude had to say about that shit, because I didn't see any post-game or anything. Come to think of it, you know, I should have searched that out or whatever, but I don't think that there's a thing he could say that would, you know, be a good excuse for it. Unless he goes like, man, I love the fucking Seahawks. Love the Seahawks, man. You know, that's the only thing he could say that I'd be like, oh, okay. That's why he did that shit. That's, you know. But, yeah, I mean, the Seahawks getting that close at home, like I've been saying, they got weaknesses, man. They got weaknesses. They got beat by Arizona at home. And I know that was, you know, first time in 2 years and this and this and this. But they've almost lost a few at home this year. And I know they haven't lost them, so it doesn't mean shit to the Seahawks fans. 12th man this, 12th man that. Telling you. They almost lost fucking St. Louis at home. I believe that was the at-home game. That one was the St. Louis. The Bucks had them, I think they were down like 17 points to the Bucks, and then the Bucks just let them back in the game because they're soft. And fucking, if the Bucks were a good enough team to lock down and hold on to a 17-point lead, that was another loss, and to one of the worst teams in the league. So any given Sunday, and, you know, obviously they are an absolutely tough team at home, but they've showed weaknesses. That's all I'm saying. And that game wasn't like, oh, no fucking chance that the Saints are completely outmatched. I mean, the fucking Seattle Seahawks quarterback threw for 100 yards. Get out of here, dude. So, I mean, like I said, they looked dominant for the most part. The Saints had 0 points through the first three quarters. So, in that aspect, yeah. They looked really fucking dominant. They shut them out for fucking first three quarters of the game. And then the Saints put up 15 points in the fourth quarter, and we're still in the game because that was, you know, how close they were able to keep them. So, but that's that. The Patriots just beat the shit out of the Colts. Blunt ran for 4 touchdowns. I mean, that's just that, man. Fucking Tom Brady don't fuck around in the playoffs. And that's what happened there for the most part. Just staying out of control shit. 4 turnovers. 4 turnovers by the Colts. That was just, you know, they put out everything they had. And, you know, they definitely outclassed the Kansas City Chiefs when they played them, but that same momentum wasn't going to last through everything. The Chiefs, again, coughed up a ridiculous lead. The Chiefs should have won that game. They had fucking Jamal Charles out, and they were up by a couple touchdowns. So to let that shit go, you know, bad coaching and everything else, to let that shit go, the Colts shouldn't even have been in the second game, in the second round. But they were, and the Patriots fucking dispatched to them. And that's it. So, you got your two home teams right there. Then you, of course, had my Niners beating the Panthers 23-10. This was, you know, exactly what I wanted to see happen, obviously. Anquan Boldin just played beast game out there. You know, caught 136 yards. Gore rushed for just under 100 yards, 84 yards there. Kaepernick was pretty solid. He had some close calls. Luckily, no turnovers that way, but very close calls. I mean, we played the type of game I like. You know, it was hard-nosed in the first half. We allowed them to score 10 points, which was all they scored in the game that they beat us. In the season, they beat us 10-9. So we allowed the same amount of points that we allowed in the first game, only, you know, come second half, we shut them out. That was it. They didn't score anymore. They scored in the second quarter and never again. And that's what's up, man.
fucking Kaepernick got in the end zone, did the fucking Cam Newton Superman shit, mocked him. And, you know, people want to shit on that, like dudes just cocky or something like that, but you got to remember, too, when they played us during the season, every time they got a sack, motherfuckers was doing the Kaepernick, so fuck all that bullshit. And that's what's up, man. Fucking beat the Carolina Panthers. You know, we have guys, Anquan Boldin, man, he's fired up. When he goes out there and plays that type of game, he's pretty much unstoppable. He gets a little too fired up. He almost cost us some shit on some, you know, after the play type things. He gets in people's faces and starts headbutting people and shit. He's a charged up guy, but he's the type of energy you need out there. And between him and Crabtree and, man, Vernon Davis, that catch, Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean, serious game going on in San Francisco. So we beat them and going to go ahead to Seattle next week. Talk about that in a second. And then the Chargers lost to the Broncos. This is, you know, for the most part, I just didn't think the Chargers even belonged in this game either. You know, they outplayed the Bengals and everything, but I got to say that was more of a Bengals collapse. And the fact that the Chargers were on a momentous roll, like they just had a lot of momentum. They were beating a bunch of teams that honestly I don't think they should have. And just turn around, you know, Woodhead rushed for 29 yards, and he was the leading rusher in San Diego. So, I mean, you're not going to win a game that way. And Denver is not a defense that's you know, brolic. I mean, they're not a stacked defense. That's definitely not Denver's strength at all. It's all offense. So, yeah, I don't know. But even at that, for the Broncos, only win by, you know, a couple points. They were up for most of the game, and then it was a 7-point game right down the end. And it was another one of them kicked the fucking onside, get the onside. Holy shit, 7 points. You know, they were actually shut out the entire game and then put up 17 points in the fourth quarter. That just shows you how, you know, vulnerable the Broncos' defense is, because they look dominant the most of the game, you know, shutting them down. All of a sudden, Chargers break through 17 points in the fourth quarter, and it's almost stolen by the Chargers. And, again, I didn't think they belonged there at all. But it is what it is. Broncos pull out a win, and yeah, they're going to go to New England. So, I believe they go to New England. I don't think New England. Or maybe it goes to Denver. I think Denver had a higher record. But, yeah. I think that's what's up. Let me see. All right, so next week's games. This week, I should say. Yeah, it's Patriots at the Broncos. And that's the 3 p.m. game. And this one, man, I got to tell you, this could go either way. It really can. I know that's just an easy call to just go with. But Peyton Manning just has been lighting shit up on offense this year. I don't trust either one of these defenses. Neither one of these defenses impressed me at all. Peyton Manning could light it up. Tom Brady could light it up. Tom Brady's definitely that comeback dude. So if they get down early, that Broncos defense, bottom falls out of it, Brady can come back and steal this game. I don't know. It's going to be, you know, Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. There's nothing new about that, but always exciting. And that's what you're going to get. I feel confident if we get past Seattle, because I think you got the two best teams in the NFL playing on the NFC side right now. And I think the NFC takes whoever the fuck comes out of that side. So that's that. San Francisco at Seattle. This is going to be the shit. You know, we beat them last time, but it was in San Francisco. You know, they keep saying it can't be done. Fucking Seattle, 12th man, da-da-da-da. You know, these motherfuckers aren't even selling tickets to, like, if you go through the Seahawks organization, you can get tickets other places like, you know, StubHub or whatever the case is. But if you go through the Seattle Seahawks organization and you don't live in certain states, like you can't live in California and buy a Seahawks ticket through the Seahawks organization. They are not selling them to California residents. So That's how scared and bitch-ass they are about their little 12th man thing, because they want as many local people as they can. And I don't even think they sold out that game against fucking New Orleans. You know what I mean? So you got all that 12th man, we're the loudest, this and that. I don't even think they sold the fucking playoff game out. So it's kind of ridiculous. And, you know, we are no strangers to these fucking guys. One of the most heated, if not the most heated, rivalry in the NFL right now. You know, it's almost impossible to hear in there. San Francisco knows that going in. It's going to be what it's going to be. Our defense is fucking brolic, telling you. There was a point we had two sacks in a row in that Carolina game, and that was pretty much like the crusher. That pretty much put the fucking – put that shit to an end. When it came down to, you know, Carolina's, you know, making any kind of comeback, our fucking dudes bust through back there and sacked dude twice in a row, fucking confidence gone, crushed. And I'm telling you, man, you got a team like fucking New Orleans holding Russell Wilson for 100 yards. You think the San Francisco 49ers can't? Crazy, man. Fucking crazy. And I'm telling you, if you would have said in the beginning of the year, there's a linebacker from San Francisco that's going to be up for Defensive Player of the Year, who's going to be in the running for Defensive Player of the Year, you would say Patrick Willis all day. Well, however, it's Navarro Bowman. These two guys is a 1-2 punch. Patrick Willis still being the leader over there. Navarro Bowman has been the shit this year. He has been absolutely dominant. He is, you know, big game Bowman, they're calling him. I mean, the dude has been lights out. So you got those two guys in there. A guy who was going for the, you know, a sack record last year. He was out 5 games this year, you know, with his you know, DUI and all that stuff, went to rehab and everything. Alden Smith on the line, Justin Smith on the line. I mean, you got big, big problems going on with our guys back there. I mean, Ahmad Brooks, I mean, it doesn't stop. When it comes down to it, we are absolutely dangerous on defense. There's no easy way out with us. Eric Reed has been fantastic at safety. Dante Whitner back there on the other side. It's just a wrap. Our defense is the shit. People always want to talk, well, this needs to happen or that needs to happen. You need to fuck with our defense. And that's what the fuck we got right there. We need to spread out Seattle's defense when it comes down to that, because, you know, Michael Crabtree out there, he's a guy that a lot of teams like to double team. So's Anquan Boldin. So's Vernon Davis. So you got to make all three of those guys a threat in the same game, and I don't think we're easy to beat. I mean, you got back there, you got fucking Frank Gore. You get a game going with him, and you got to really focus on the run. That opens so much passing game up, it's ridiculous. Obviously, you know, amongst our defense, our biggest hurdle with the Seattle Seahawks has to be Marshawn Lynch. That dude is beast. So we're able to, you know, contain that dude somewhat. It's gonna cause major, major problems for the Seattle Seahawks. I absolutely think we could beat this team. I think the fact that they stomped us in their house this season benefits us, because it shows us everything we need to not do. You know, we bounced back off of that, and in a hard-fought victory up against them in San Francisco showed that we can beat this team. Now we're in another stadium. We're in their house and hostile territory, all of that. It is what it is. We know what we're going into. And, you know, it's going to be a fantastic game. This is one of those two-watch games. Whether you're a 49er fan or a Seahawks fan, or you don't like neither team, that's a football game right there. That's a physical, fucking hate-each-other fucking football game. So that's going to be the shit. So obviously you know who the fuck I pick in that game. But, you know, fucking Ric Flair received death threats after that fucking that locker room thing. He, you know, put our team over, came back there, you know, gave a little speech and everything. And, yeah, people from fucking Carolina, the Carolina Panther fans were sending fucking Flair death threats because he's not supporting that Carolina team. It's like, I think that shit's funny. So that's that. I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a break, come back, review the CZW show. Yeah, it's going to be a short one tonight. Because, you know, no guest and, you know, only so much to cover. But, especially, you know, during this football season, I could do almost an hour on football by myself, and you only got two games to talk about. That's really only so much you could do. All right, so I got that. Yeah, come back, talk a little bit about the WWE television. Now, you know what, I'll just do that now. The WWE TV stuff, I watched some Raw. You know, somewhat have skimmed it, you know, but I did watch, you know, a decent amount of it. The, gotta say continuously, though, the Goldust Cody Rhodes team is just fucking killing it. They look absolutely great in the ring. They're doing great stuff. They had some, like, the Shield versus CM Punk and the New Age Outlaws, and then the Outlaws bailed on them and left them alone and shit with Shield. And then, obviously, the main event. And see, this is with motherfuckers, and I only responded to one of them, but I've seen people and I've heard a lot of different shows where they were saying this, internet, you know, podcast. And then, like, a lot of message boards and this and that they're all saying, fuck, Daniel Bryan's getting buried. And I fucking never believed that shit for one fucking second, because how is putting a dude in with the Wyatt family, who the Wyatts are definitely, since they've debuted, they've been one of the biggest angles in the fucking company, straight up. They're the most talked about, you know, most thought out promos, like the angles that they've done. It just seems like it's got the most put into it, you know, at times more so than their title picture and shit. And putting him in with the Wyatt family, where exactly would that ever be burying? Why? Because he was considered under Bray Wyatt at the time? Come on, man. And personally, I thought they could have drawn that out a lot longer. But they cut it as short as they possibly could. And either way, that reaction in the cage when he turned on fucking Bray Wyatt, started doing the yes chants real slow, and the fucking, not only the chants that were following him, but the fucking people raising their arms in the air at the same pace that he's fucking doing it in the ring, like mirroring him, trying to, you know, stay with him and shit on that. That shit was unfucking real. And again, if you can watch that shit and say the dude's getting buried, you're retarded. You know what I mean? Then if he was getting buried, then you might want to go check the cemeteries if you think you lost somebody in your life, because they probably didn't get buried either. Because that's stupid as shit to look at what the fuck's going on with him and be like, oh, he's so buried. Like, you don't know what buried is. This fucking guy is still on the main event angles, and the crowd is as loud as fucking. Honestly, you know, not many people can do it. But I don't think that Stone Cold got bigger, louder chance. I mean, of course, I'd say he sold more merchandise. He was more over for a longer period of time, of course. But people, you know, for many, many, you know, years have been, no one's Stone Cold over. No one will ever be Stone Cold over. The fucking volume of chance and the amount of people fucking raising their arms up and down at the same time, there's no way he's not fucking Stone Cold over. I mean, seriously, too, because there's been a lot of guys they've tried to fucking force down your throat and make it look like they're over and pump in the sound, you know, through the speakers and make the chants louder and really try to, you know, pump it up to make it sound like it was, you know, they were doing with the Feed Me More chants. They were doing with a bunch of shit. And one thing you can't fake is all the fucking fans raising their fucking arms in the air at the same time. That shit is crazy. That shit was over like a motherfucker. So it'd be interesting to see where they go from here. I know people are already shouting WrestleMania, you know, is going to be Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt. Maybe they continue that until then. I wouldn't be surprised, and it would probably be pretty fucking good. So very interesting to see, and I thought it was done fucking excellent with the cage, you know, keeping the other guys out. And then leaving them in there, having them turn. I mean, it was just done so fucking well. And like I said, the reaction, fucking word buried doesn't exist. If that's what buried is, fuck that shit. That was off the chain right there. So, is what it is. Yeah, that's all right. I'm gonna take a break, come back, and talk about some CZW. Let me see. I'm in a Smith and Wesson mood tonight, so I'm gonna go with this. There's no way you can go in, need to do some shit in the gym, and not get hyped up off of this joint. No way.
Boy head. The shot is flying out the body guy like that. Two shots dead to him chin. Enemy a friend, fix the funk, I put the junk to an end. Now who the rude boy want come test though? I find his family, the ID, him in the mall. I bet you never thought I was led. Surprise, I'm a 4-5 blood head just like
you. Try to test the champion zone, you're getting bucked down. Recognize the boot camp click out of Bucktown. Gun thirsty little bastard, always blasted. From detective chocolate of mother casting. You say you're number one wicked selector. I say you Panani and I wet ya. Keep the bull for a pool, this your trigger. Cause you don't wanna test me when I'm tipsy off the liquor. Like the punk they call McGurk. Got his feelings hurt, showed his true colors, had to yank up his skirt. Now he's in misery, trying to cop a plea. Led to him head from gun clapper number 3, see. Lick up a shot, you know dick rider. Lick a shot, put 99, pun fire.
Now everybody wanna be Don Gargan. All around New York niggas be talking, but we be stalking. In the darks when the gun starts barking. But in the day, be wary of where you be walking.
Don't! You want them to jump your song. Leave it to the people them God. You know that when then the people them come out with them a ball for. Leave
me nah sex. Me rough like the wicked youth in me. That motherfucker that be bugging off the truth he see. Original criminal running time. Crime pace. That's what that practice so whack. If you won't get blasted by my 9 shot, come around my block, find a nice spot in the pine box. Murderer, bossy boy killer, Colin Powell filler, we bout to get iller.
Home boy, ain't got enough reason to worry. Coming with my troops, we about to bury. Better pack your dubs and move in a hurry. Here's our sin. Looking at my pager, it's about that time to load up the 9 and do my daily crime. Warriors, conquerors, the man before ya. Mr. Ripper, aka the enemy killer. My man with the weed is my man indeed. And all you sucky ducky niggas catch knots with speed.
Talking about you also. Am I so the one that you never know that when it comes to championship, it's we that have the management that corresponds with good you to fit for good crew.
Lots and boy, I gonna get dead tonight. Duke has a retrieve the 2-5 from my thin boots. Target upon sight, trick upon cock. Adjust your pupils to see your dead boy walk. Nuff pussy all gonna die this year. Here comes the boot camp, slide it to the rear.
Strain coming like a hurricane, licking shots. More untouchable than niggas with the chicken pox. So MCs get lifted when I'm slifted. Nigga guard your girl cause Louisville packs the biscuit. In the session Smith and Wesson OGC. Gun clapper number 1 with my nigga D.O.G.
We bring the realness, feel this. Boom is Black Moon, reveal this. We come to let you know what the deal is. Straight up we serve justice. So if you can't be trusted, may you return where the dust is.
There is many songs that going around and going on. I'm going like a clown, but I'm telling you, clean up your act and come to the livestock. You are dead stuck from morning and now is evening. Everything's changed.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't even touch on any of this thing, but definitely done with this motherfucking winter. Just want to get back to this outside shit, man. I want to get back to the running. I want to get back to the yard looking right. I want to get the shit popping, man. fucking done with this winter bullshit. Hate cold, hate all that dumb shit. Fucking if it's not brutal cold, it's fucking nasty and rainy and just bullshit out there. So I'm all done with that. For if anyone's taking notes and gotta hit the switch on spring to get going, then I'm all with it. But you know, so that's what, you know, just the way that I feel about it. I know I can't sway a motherfucking thing about it. But anyway, trying to get into, you know, back with the running and shit. Obviously, that brutal cold snap, I was not about to be running around on the fucking street. I ended up broke as fuck this week. You know, I had a bunch of shit to pay, including this fucking, this blog show here. And, you know, left me with no fucking money. So I really didn't even have gas money to get to the gym and shit. So I was like, all right, fucking Monday. What was that? I think it was Monday. I went out and ran and you know, so I went and did that, hit my first 5K this year, and, you know, I was happy about that. So, yeah, I want to just keep putting them in. I really want to turn it up quite a bit. The amount that I want to turn it up is ridiculous. It's baby steps. It's one run at a time, one go at a time. But I want to end up, you know, when it's all said and done, I want to end up doing runs like every single day. And if I hit that, that point, I'm going to be fucking dangerous on these races. And like I said, my goal for the end of the fucking year is doing 2 laps around the Tough Mudder. And that's, you know, 12 miles is the one fucking Tough Mudder joint. 12 miles, fucking 25 plus obstacles. I want to do that shit twice in a row. So, you know what I mean? Talking 24 miles, fucking 50 obstacles. And that's what I want to do. And I know I can do it. I just got to fucking set my shit to it. I mean, you figure the majority of the training I did for this Tough Mudder was the one that I just did in October was between, you know, like when this training got a little more serious, between August and October. Because, I mean, you know, the drinking stopped in July. So, you know, shit got a little more serious after that. And I only started running as a whole in May. I ain't run at all before May. So you got to figure all this time that I'm going to build up to doing it and then having done it before, and I fucking twisted my back out the week before Tough Mudder. So you got to figure that, you know, add all this shit up and what the fuck I could accomplish now, it's going to be retarded. And, yeah, I'm not putting a ceiling on my motherfucking accomplishments, man. I'm killing it, so fuck that. So, yeah, I'm going to try to get back into it. I'm going to keep a log on my runs and see how many miles I could actually put in this year and, you know, just keep building and building and building. I'm, you know, I'll be 36 this year, so no time like the fucking present. I got started way late on this shit. I'm like the DDP of motherfucking running and obstacle races. So, anyway, let me see. CZW. I have a fucking intro. Oh, let me do this first, actually. Forgot to do it last week. Every once in a while, I forget to do this shit. And then definitely, I get mad about it afterwards because I love the segment. But jerk off of the week.
I don't like your jerk off name. I don't like your jerk off face. I don't like your jerk off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk off.
The jerk-off of the week is the Wawa Corporation. You go in that motherfucker, and there's like a 60-inch TV over the fucking sub sandwiches and coffee. They got a 60-inch TV playing a fucking picture of a sandwich for like fucking 8 hours out of the day. I got a way to get my tax return to get a bigger fucking TV in my room, and still ain't gonna touch the one that's got a picture of a fucking sandwich on that bitch for a good fucking 8 hours out of the day. That shit might switch like a fucking slideshow and show a cup of coffee for another 3 hours. Well, fuck that shit, man. Crystal clear 60-inch fucking TV with a sandwich on it. Get the fuck out of here. Hook that shit up to something, a movie, a goddamn video game, a football game, fucking something. Motherfuckers. That's my jerk-off of the week. There you go. CZW, and I think I got my intro for that. Let me go up here. All right.
DJ's not Zandy.
CZW, laying the law once again. Prepare for war. CZW, I'm for not dead, dead, out of here.
Because in CZW, we do things how we do it in the real world, just like all of you.
Well, ain't that a motherfucker?
CZW January show, I believe it was called Answering the Challenge. Really not sure why. But that's what it was called. The show started out with, and I'll say on an overall before I even go into it, far, far better than your average January CZW show. Far better. An actual good show. Solid show. And usually January shows suck. Like, you just completely fuck yourself because as a fan, you go in like, all right, KJ Deaths was off the chain. I'm fucking going back next month. This is fucking great. CZW, motherfucker, you go back next month and they just pretty much punch you in the fucking mouth and send you home. It's usually just fucking horrible. You usually just get fucked and go, why do I do this every year? Because, you know, you're coming off such a huge show like KJ Deaths. If anything's going to get people hooked, it's going to be that. And, you know, and then they wonder why attendance has gone down over the years, because even back in the day, you would get 1,000 in the fucking building for Cage of Death, and then by March, you were fucking pulling teeth to get the attendance back up. If anything, you for best of the best, but people got pretty used to those in-between shows just dropping off drastically. So I think it had something to do with it, but obviously the big shows are going to draw more anyway, but they give you a lot of fucking reason not to come on the small shows on most Januaries, but not this one. This one was good. So anyway, the show started out with Pepper Parks, Azriel, and Shane Strickland in a three-way. This was a good opener. Shane Strickland wins. You know, so like I said, solid opener to the show. Next up was Alexander James versus Masada. First off, Christina Von Erie came out with one of the Misfits shirts on. And to me, I thought that's ridiculous. And I know she must like the band and all that. And that's fine. But wouldn't you think you would have her say, like, hey, can you wear a different band shirt out there tonight? Because Ohio is for Killers is based the majority of their gear on that logo. Why would you have another wrestler or valet or whatever you want to call it, let's just stick with wrestler, in your company wearing some shit that, you know, to anyone outsiders that's just watching it for wrestling or whatever would still go like, oh, isn't that like the Wireless for Killers thing? I don't know. I just think it's retarded. I just don't think you should have people coming out with almost the same gear as an entire other faction's gear, but it's not related. She just likes the Misfits. Like, come on, man. You got other fucking band shirts to wear. Cut it out. I mean, it doesn't make any fucking sense. So, that just looks stupid to me. Take it for what it is, you know. Oh, and might I add that is one fucking person who needs to not have a Facebook page or Twitter or whatever. She's fucking horrible and embarrassing to herself on the Facebook. And I'm not one of these people that's just going to be just like, you know, hey, you know, I'll, like just bashing someone like for the sake of doing it or saying that, like, you know, I don't like her and I have no problem with her. I have no problem with what she does or whatever. But like, she types horribly and she gets very, very like offended by people and then starts going off and fuck you and you don't know me and you haven't walked in my shoes, but then like typing with her feet or some shit. Like, I don't know. Like it just looks fucking crazy. It looks like she's melting down on half of her Facebook posts. So like she should probably lay back from that or maybe find someone that could type legibly and do that shit for her. Cause she's got a lot of fans and supporters and stuff. And like I said, I like her work. I think she does very well out there, but I think she's doing herself more harm than good than, you know, to interact with fans and be like that. And I, again, I haven't posted a single thing on their page or anything like that. It's not like I've had a bad interaction, but just read some of her statuses and it's like, whoa, what the fuck, is that a bad day or what? And then, you know, like a week later, it'll be the same shit. So I don't know, but just me. So yeah, Masada versus Alexander James, he just fucking completely buried dude. He just, you know, squashed him, beat the shit out of him. He Mr. Pogo'd the shit out of him with the comma. He had the comma, and it had like knuckles on it with big ass spikes on it. And he was gouging the shit out of him. And so yeah, he bloodied the shit out. I didn't think, and a lot of other people said the same thing. I didn't think Alexander James was gonna get all that type of fucking color. I mean, he really fucking carved his shit up. I was like, whoa, fuck. So yeah, that was good. You know, for what it was supposed to be, nobody in the world thought that that shit was going to be a competitive match. So for what it was supposed to be is a squash and a massacre and showing Masada's back and fucking not playing around. Yeah, that did it. Next up you had, Greg Excellent versus Joe Gacy. You know, is what it is here. One thing I will give Gacy credit for, though, his moonsault's looking pretty fucking tight. Pulled a moonsault off in that match, like springboard moonsault, and I thought that shit looked really good. I don't know. I mean, for somebody shaped like him, I think his moonsault's fucking tight. So there's that for what that's worth. Devin Moore beats Alex Colon for the Fruit Loop belt. I don't understand that. I had heard, like, rumors and shit, like, there is heat over the Strickland-Colon match, and kind of, like, for the reasons that I was saying, like, it was too much. It was, like, too much there, where, like, just finish after finish after finish after finish, and really, like, nothing to really make sense of it, just, like, move after move, like, death move after death move, and, like, just too much. I don't know if there's any truth whatsoever about anybody catching heat over that. I don't know, but it just seems weird on a January show with no build, with no lead in, with no any reason to just drop the belt off of Colon to Devin. Fucking, they had him, Shane Strickland, chase that fucking belt all the way to Cage of Death, have him lose again, and then just drop it to Devin in January? I don't know. That shit just struck me as completely weird. I don't know where they're going to go with it. I don't know. And I hope it goes better, or they maybe use Devin as a transition champion. Honestly, I think if that's going to be their junior belt, which I can't say it enough that I hate that fucking belt, and they need to bring the junior belt back, scrap that shit. It was... The belt was created for a fucking failed TV venture, and they fucking scrapped the junior title because they consider them more or less one and the same. When it says wired TV and there's really no TV, what the fuck is that? It's retarded. It's absolutely retarded. At least when they had the Ultraviolent Underground belt and the Ultraviolent Underground went away, there was still the word Ultraviolent in there, so you could kind of make sense out of it. But when it's wired and TV... Wired was the name of the TV thing that doesn't exist anymore, and TV is the other part of it, which doesn't really happen. I mean, it just doesn't make any goddamn sense. Just make a fucking junior title, bring back the old one that had a history to it, and do that. But anyway, I think, honestly, who should be champion is, like, an Andrew Everett right now. You know, get Andrew Everett there, or I'd even go, you know, with another solid dude like Jeez. He's not the tag champ right now. Make Jesus that guy. And then run guys like fucking Andrew Everett and A.R. Fox and those guys at him. Because right now, from when Jeez was champion, you got a whole different group of people in the company right now. So you got a whole list of different challengers from what they were dealing with before. And I think you could do a lot with it. I mean that right there would make sense, but I mean, they could do a lot. It's just a matter, you know, picking somebody that's gonna completely wow people and shit. Devin works fine as a guy who can compete in any match. He can do the deathmatch stuff. He's kind of like a jack of all trades. As they say, jack of all trades, master of none. You know what I mean? He's not the best deathmatch guy in the world, but he's absolutely fine for any deathmatch you put him in. He's not the best high flyer in the world, but he's absolutely fine for any high flyer match you put him in. You know what I mean? Like, the dude can do anything, but you wouldn't really call him the top guy in any one of those genres. So, and my biggest problem with Devin holding the title is I said it before when he had the world title. I just thought he was completely lackluster as far as his personality, his charisma went. He more or less walked out there with the belt, acted like he didn't give a shit. And, you know, he worked the matches, and it's not like the matches had a lot wrong with it. It was just, like, there was nothing behind it. Like, there were certain dudes, like, when they came out, you felt like the fucking champion. You know, there was the fucking champion. Even Gulak, because, you know, he's got the For a Better Combat Zone thing. He's got, like, the arrogant champion-type swagger. You know, so he's got something that makes sense there. Masada had the aura of, I'm the baddest motherfucker out here, and you're not taking the belt away from me and shit. Like he had that aura of a champion. Robert Anthony had that same, you know, cocky attitude type thing going on. Devin, like, had this, like he found it on the street somewhere and didn't really give a shit, but he just kept carrying it around and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I never liked it. I never liked that run. I couldn't wait for them to pull the belt off of him and shit. And again, like, I don't care if they keep him in main events, because there's nothing wrong with anything that he does as far as his work. I just never liked his run. I liked him and shit. But I don't know. I hope that completely changes as far as this wired title run goes. Or, like I said, they use him as transitional and move it to, you know, like a Andrew Everett or one of those guys. So we'll see what goes on there. But I was completely just thrown off by just giving Devin the belt, like, completely random. I guess he's a Grand Slam champion now because he's had the world title and he's had that and everything else. But, yeah, so there you go. And then Ohio's for Killers beat the Juicy Product in a crazy fucking match. They ended up finishing it with the spot they did in Japan, which was, if you didn't see it, there was like a clip of it online when they did it in Japan and pictures of it and stuff. They do a tombstone off the apron with Jay Chris is hitting a tombstone off the apron through a table on the outside with Dave Crist riding a double stomp down. So like a spiked tombstone through a table on the outside via Dave Crist double stomp. It's fucking insanity. The move is fucking crazy. And they just about killed fucking done with that shit. And goddamn, that shit was off the chain. So that was that there. Next up was Arrow Boy versus Danny Havoc. I had never seen Arrow Boy before. This was my first time seeing him. I meant to look up some YouTube stuff on him previous to it, but I didn't. I just got completely lazy about it and didn't. And I liked the dude. He was real stiff with, like, hitting people with shit, like his chair shots, and, like, when he would smack Havoc with the shit, he would hit him hard with stuff, you know what I mean? And I liked that. He was fast-moving, you know, because he had that, you know, I guess that lucha to him or whatever, so he had some good speed to him. He didn't seem to hold back on any of the bumps or anything he was taking like that. I was impressed with his showing altogether. Nice swanton he's got. Overall, I liked the match. It was fucking crazy. And good stuff there. They did intermission. They came back with Kimberly talking to Christina Von Erie about the skewers thing, and she broke into a whole, like, you need God, and you need to find Jesus. I think when with the Jesus and all that. And, you know, it was the whole thing there. Then, and this is the one thing that I kind of disconnected a little bit from, because, you know, all of that makes sense. You know, she's supposed to have that, you know, holier than now, you know, no pun intended, but, you know, she brought the God into it too. She was in like the for a better combat zone and this and this. I think they had to involve some authority figure in order to make it more legit, because she more or less booked Christina Von Erie in a match. Like, I understand, like, they have the high and mighty angle and all that stuff, but I didn't think they could just come out and be like, all right, yeah, so I'm booking you in a match with them. Like, what are you doing? What? I think, you know, with a simple little, like, promo package, whatever it was, they could have her going up to Maven or whoever in the back and saying, you know, this and this, and however they want to, you know, work it. I mean, that would be up to them, however they work the actual, you know, promo or verbiage, however they wanted to put it, to convince him to book her in a match, and then come out there and present it with, yeah, I've talked to management, and yeah, this is what's happening with you next month. That, to me, would make a little more sense than a wrestler coming out and saying, I booked you in a match, because, you know what I mean? Like, even with Drew being the leader of the click and him being the world champion, I don't think that makes your crew be able to book matches, because if that was the case, fucking Alexander James would have unbooked his shit real fucking quick from the Masada match. No, I don't know. It seemed goofy the way that they did that. But I mean, it's gonna result in a good match in Candice LeRae versus Christina Von Erie. So I got no problems with the direction they're going. It's just, you know, just the details. Sometimes attention to detail makes all the difference. It's, you know. Next up, you had Biff Busick versus Chris Dickinson, and Biff won with some interference and stuff, and this was fucking crazy. This was, you know, what I expected for the most part. I liked it a lot, and at some point, I'm not sure exactly where it happened, but Dickinson got busted open, and he just, like, freaked, you know what I mean? Obviously by gimmick. You know, like, they acted like he just went ballistic after he got bloodied and just started, you know, beasting out and shit. So I thought that was really cool. I don't think, you know, the busted open part was planned at all. But to kind of go off of that and, you know, kind of like blood rage after that, I thought it was cool as hell. And like I said, the matches that they're booking Dickinson in, I think he looks fucking great in. You know, he was able to just go in there and just beat the shit out of Davey Richards and take what he had to give to him and just back and forth and back and forth. And Biff Busick is a hard-hitting dude. So, I mean, them going back and forth was off the hook. I liked it a lot. And I hope they keep booking him that way. I think him versus Drake could be really good. There's a lot of people they could put him in with that'll look good. You know, they could do the Styles Clash things like they did with him and A.R. Fox was great. And yeah, you could go toe-to-toe with hard-hitting dudes like Masada. You went in there with you know, him and Drew was great. You know, that's what I'm saying. This guy can work pretty much anywhere you put him in with, and so far it's come out really well. And like I said, CZW absolutely needed a crusher. I mean, they had your Nick Gages for the longest time to just come out and just fuck shit up. For a while, Sammy Callahan was the dude that would just come out there and he was the stiff dude, and he would come out there and fuck people up. You know, you had that type of thing. And then, even with Masada going out, he couldn't go fucking people up because he was out with his leg and stuff like that. But even at that, you know, it kind of had grown a little bit stale for him to be the crusher because he was the guy that was defending his world title. So it's not like at any given point in the card, he was going to come out there and just wreck shit. He was more that super dangerous guy to fuck with his belt. You know what I mean? Like, they would bring the El Genericos, the Davey Richards, the, you know, these different guys in, and he was that bad motherfucker in that, you know, in that role. Not so much, like, could be anywhere on the card fucking wrecking shit. That's, like I said, where you found those other guys a little bit more. And I think Dickinson's playing that role
really well right now. So hopefully they continue it. The Beaver Boys ended up beating the Blackout for the World Tag Team titles, and they're the new champions. I thought this was a good match. It was a lot of fun. The crowd got really into it, partially because it is Dickhead, and he also had a Misfit shirt on. And so I don't know if he was supporting Christina Von Erie or the Ohio's for Killers. He was definitely supporting the shit out of Alex Reynolds. They seem to have this ongoing thing where that's like Alex's best friend or some shit like this. Robbie was burying him during the match. It was fucking funny as hell. And you could just see, like, that was one thing I meant to actually mention earlier, too. Like, that fucking kid is annoying as shit. Like, I'm watching, like, the beginning of the pay-per-view, and this dude is just, like, running, like, fucking relay races on the fucking back. Like, you got your couple rows of chairs, and then a lot of people standing and shit. And this motherfucker's got, like, skeleton gloves on in his Misfit shirt, and he's just doing, like, fucking wind sprints. This motherfucker's just running back and forth, and you see him, like, pointing at the fucking screen like he's cutting a promo, and then he fucking runs to the other side, and then he's fucking yelling and screaming and shit. And I'm like, this motherfucker's annoying. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, there's a line of, like, getting into the show and getting all hyped up, and then there's, like, disruptive. I just think that motherfucker's disruptive. I mean, it could just be me. I'm fucking very easily irritated, you know. I mean, he's obviously having a good time, and I'm sure he supports the shit out of, you know, the product. But, man, he's fucking irritating. So, yeah, and then after the match, too, like I said, good match. I thought it went really well. Beaver Boys have been super over for a minute, too, especially Silver. So it doesn't surprise me for them to put the belts on them. And, yeah, I think it's a good idea. Like I said, I honestly would rather see right now, I'd like to see G's back in the, you know, junior heavyweight type thing and start killing it that way. You know, and just really start mixing it up with a lot of these different talents and stuff, too. And Ruckus, too, man. I still want to see, like, Ruckus A.R. Fox, Ruckus and, you know, Andrew Everett and those other cruiserweight guys, and have Ruckus really step his shit up, because he was the guy innovating before any of these guys were there. He was the guy doing half the shit they're doing before they were even there. Fucking 2002, he was doing this crazy shit. You know what I mean? So I'd like to see him take that shit to the next level with those guys. And, you know, and G's doing what he's doing. I'm not saying even break up the tag team. I say keep the Blackout together. I honestly think they should add another person. The chances of it being Joker returning and the chances of it being Kingston returning are probably pretty slim, but the way both of them feel about DJ and vice versa. But I don't know. I would like to see them add like a third dude to that crew. And even though they've had like Reyes in the past, I don't want to see Ricky Reyes. I don't. I just don't. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing another dude added to that. And yeah, man, like them doing some real heavy shit like that. Just stuck in the tag team division. That tag team division is weird in that place, and they do a lot of different weird shit with it. Well, they'll run like the biggest angles outside of the title shot, you know, the title picture. Like they'll run a crazy fucking war between Four Loko or Murderers Row or whoever the fuck, and the Beaver Boys, and have them higher on the card and putting on fucking crazy matches, and then put the Blackout lower on the card with the titles working some shit that they didn't really invest much into. So, to me, it never made any sense. Like, you would think you would want your title picture to look stronger, not the other thing. And if you were going to book the Blackout as a champion, it's fine, great, but put them higher on the card and put them in higher impact matches where it was going to make a bigger impact than, you know, putting them lower on the card and just not even doing as much with them. You know, personally, that's just how I feel about that. Like, I just think your title should look strong. If you have a show-stealing light heavyweight match, if it's not for the title, one of those guys should be earning a title for the following month or the 2 months from then. You know what I mean? Like, anything that steals the show should probably be heading towards a title or number one contender. And it doesn't even have to be labeled as that, but like
you have a standout performance, and it's like, well, shit, after last month, these motherfuckers are in line for something. You know what I mean? Like, it makes a little more sense to me. Because it looks like your titles are being held or strived for by, like, the hottest guys in the fucking company, no homo. So that's just a weird thing. But they do weird shit with these titles and who gets the shots and who gets what. They really do. Really, really fucking weird shit. So, but yeah, I liked the match. I thought it was great. Like I said, I think the Beaver Boys with the tag titles, you know, they'll do their thing there. And let's see where they go from there with the Blackout. I'd like to see some, you know, innovative shit, some, you know, some fresh shit. And then the main event, which I honestly just wasn't a fan of. I mean, I was partially just completely biased towards it because I hate the idea of Lucky getting a world title shot. This is a guy who they never had the fucking balls or never had the confidence in the dude to put in best of the best at all. Like, just won't even put him in best of the best, but yet he's getting a world title shot? For what? Now, let's go back 2012. I went back and I wrote this shit down. Let's go back to fucking Tournament of Death. Let's talk about Summertime. The last, he had the match in Tournament of Death, first round, went out first round to Scotty Vortex. This was a match that you could have just put the fucking music to. It was super dangerous spots, but they couldn't have botched more spots in that fucking thing. They're lucky they didn't both die in that first round match. They botched the shit out of a lot of dangerous ass stuff. And that was the Tournament of Death match, was those two. And if they would have pulled off all the spots they were doing in that match, it probably would have been match of the show. Easily. Because they went for some crazy, crazy shit, but missed pretty much all of it. So that was that, okay? Following month, they have him, or I think it was following month, New Heights. They have him do pretty much a comedy spot, come out and play Stone Cold Steve Austin over David Starr, which is weird because for the rest of the year after that, they went out of their way trying to put David Starr over and build him up as a star. After they have Lucky, who at the time I even complained about because I'm like, he's kind of the lowest on the totem pole in the group of the Nation of Intoxication, yet he's out here stone cold stunning a dude, and that's it. Like, dude just jobbed out to the stone cold routine, and kind of like, oh, that's funny. Lucky just killed that dude, and it was just weird because like Lucky just what? And that was it. Like he didn't have a match on that show other than that. So then the next joint is the Tangled Web match. So he's one of a couple dudes in the Tangled Web match. Okay. Next show is the Dancing with the Stars or Down with the Sickness, depending on what you think those letters stand for. And him and Drew Blood go to a no contest. And okay, so there's no winner in that. The next month, he beats Ron Mathis because Ron Mathis uses Brass Knucks, and they reverse the decision and give the win to Lucky. And Ron Mathis hasn't solidified any kind of spot in that company either, as far as, you know, they can book him every month. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying as far as, like, a main eventer or a mid-carder, or, like, he hasn't really locked in anything yet. He's just a guy who's had, you know, some good performances here, good performances there, but really not sure where he stands with anything. Like, I don't know where he – I don't know. So, again, he beats him because the decision's reversed, so more or less like a DQ gets him to win this match, and that's that. Night of Infamy, and he's just handcuffed to the thing in the Scumbag Rules match. He doesn't even have a match on the card. He's just handcuffed to the turnbuckle, and that's his role in that. And then Cage of Death, he's just one of the dudes in the big multi-man match and just happens to be the last dude standing. And that's not like a fucking, like a Royal Rumble. That's just like, motherfucker crashed off the cage over there, crazy bump. Oh, well, I guess he's out of it. Motherfucker crashed over there. Oh, he's out of it.
that's not really like a guy clearing house and like, I'm the last man standing. It's just kind of ends up like, oh, well, I guess you're the one. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it kind of comes, especially in that one, the way it came off. He just happened to be like, oh, shit, it's Lucky and Tremont over there. And then Mondo kicked him, and then that was that. Which Mondo being in the thing was technically one of the team, never got eliminated either, so he wasn't really the last one in the thing. But either way, he's supposed to be the last dude standing or whatever. But that's his year, from the summer until Cage of Death. And somehow that means world title shot in January? Nah, I don't buy it. I don't believe it whatsoever. And when you got Drew Gulak coming off of a match with Chris Hero, match with Dickinson, match with who else? I'm trying to think of who else he fought. Chuck Taylor. Him beating Masada and all that, and then he's fighting Lucky, who again, they didn't have the confidence to put him in fucking best of the best. I mean, I just don't buy that shit. And then, you know, it makes it hard for me to buy the offense throughout the match. You know what I mean? Like, he's doing all this shit, and it's like this epic battle back and forth, and I just can't buy it. Because your lead into that, your character development for that dude was nothing, was absolutely nothing. And it's just like, okay, boom, you get a title shot, and then Drew's fighting tooth and nail back and forth and really, you know, trying to scrap through this match with this dude that has zero build. I just can't buy it. I couldn't buy it at all. And, I mean, if that match had no title involved and it was, you know, before intermission or some shit like this, I would have been completely fine with it. But the fact that it was for the world title with absolutely zero build to the character of Lucky, I'm all tuned out. That's it. You know, wasn't a whole lot wrong with the match. Really wasn't. But I couldn't stand it right from the start, and I couldn't buy it. I was tuned out. And, I mean, you got your couple, like, you know, crowd clapping, crowd, like, trying to get into it, this and that. But I didn't think the crowd was that into it either. And personally, I think that's the reason. But I could be wrong about the crowd. I'm sitting at home watching an iPay-per-view, so the crowd might have been completely fine with it. Maybe they loved it. I don't know. That's just my opinion on it. You know, it is what it is. Opinions are like assholes, whatever. So, yeah, that's it. But like I said, overall, I think absolutely solid show for a January especially. Lot of good stuff worth buying, you know what I mean, on there. I definitely like that they dropped the price, you know, $10 for, you know, an off-month show, and then, you know, go up to your fucking $15 or whatever you're going to do for the Cage of Death. So the best of the best. So the tank, that makes sense. So, it was well, well worth it to me. And that's all I got for that. Like I said, in a couple weeks I'm going to have DJ on. Next week I'll go over his shoot that I watched, you know, hit some topics on that. And, and from there we'll build up and we'll get towards, having DJ on in a couple weeks. I want to do it before the anniversary show so we can, you know, promote that a little bit and at the same time talk about some upcoming stuff on that and get into all the questions I have. The other interviews I had talked about, guests that I had talked about, one being Fat Frank, waiting a little bit on that because he was going to announce a whole lot of his card on the return of Jersey All-Pro coming up. What happened was they were going to run it in the Rahway Rec Center, and he was not interested in running in the other building. There's another building out there that I think that other shitfed runs in, and he didn't want to run there, the Circle Arena or whatever the fuck, and he's like, nah. He's like, we'll just put it off, and we'll make sure that the Rahway Rec Center is ready. I guess it's still fucked up from Sandy. Like, that building apparently got really fucked up from Hurricane Sandy and shit. So,
So it's still not ready, and he's not willing to run somewhere else. So nothing's announced for that. So, again, I'd like to have him back when there's at least something to talk about as far as – I mean, I got a whole shitload of questions as far as, you know, Jersey All-Pro and, you know, all of that stuff over the years with his involvement, you know, him doing his thing, Jersey All-Pro. So I have a ton of shit to ask Fat Frank. But I also want to be able to help him promote the upcoming thing and talk a little bit about, you know, the comebacks and you know, the comeback of the company and, you know, where they're going with that and, you know, the matches that are scheduled on the cards because it's supposed to be a pretty big card from what I hear. And I don't know any specifics. But so that's where that stands. The other dude, Vin Senzo, that I know, He is going to come on in February. He's got a crazy work schedule, and Wednesdays he normally picks up a bunch of extra hours. He's going to take a Wednesday where he takes a little less on a Wednesday and come on and chat with me. That should be a fun show, too, because, you know, we had actually attended shows. We caught the same ride together a couple months in CZW back in the day, you know, early 2000s. And, you know, definitely known this guy for years. He's a huge wrestling fan, and he's now a wrestler. He trains, I think, at the Monster Factory, and he's gotten a ring with Rikishi and Kevin Nash and a bunch of other people that were booked on, you know, the show's card. And you know, so it'd be interesting to talk to the dude and see him. He's got a bunch of stories, and you know, we reflect on some of the old CZW stuff and different indie stuff back then that we were going to, and his feelings on it, and you know, whole thing. So it should be a lot of good conversation. So, you know, some good guests coming up, and definitely a lot more show. So anyway, check out the Sports Den. I believe they're on right now. Check them out, Sports Den, on the Facebook. Check out Wrestling Soup. I believe they're on tomorrow night. They were on last Thursday night, and, you know, they're back doing their thing. Check out Stern Nation, and I think they're doing Saturday days still. But again, you know, check out Stern Nation on Facebook, and you know, you can get their whole schedule from there. You know, Howard Stern Show has been doing their thing, and anyone's a fan of the Howard Stern Show, they do a really good wrap up on that, and you know, a lot of talk about everything, take calls, the whole nine. So check them out. Check out Yolanda, too, at the Shiznet. Good friend over there. She's on Thursday nights as well, so check her out. I think that's all the plugs I got. I think that's everything I got there. Let me go back to my thing. Yeah, motherfucking go Niners. Beat the fucking shit out of these Seahawks. I'm going to take you out, play another track before I go, because like I said, I'm in a mood for some motherfucking Smith & Wesson tonight. So, one of my favorite tracks off their second album, go with this joint, and then I'll take you guys out. Check me out next week. All right, peace.
Yeah, look like.
Yeah, call it, boy.
Word
boy,
up.
Boy, boy.
For a long time, son.
Move
ain't gonna
up.
Take me out that easy,
man.
Smoke it live. Me, I bleed. Smoking guns. Coco beans. Who wanna look like? Wanna act like us? Wanna be like? Roll the dreams like us? Wanna talk like? Wanna walk like us? Wanna flip like? Get a grip like us? Wanna act like? Hold the back like us? Wanna rip like? Kick shit like us? Wanna bust like? You ain't rough like us?
Ding, that's the sound of the bell. Oh shit, it's all you heard before you fell to the canvas. All washed up like my dirty drawers and pants get. Try to challenge it, damage, plain and simple. With bandages around your temple, easily erased out the picture like pencil. Beat me once, saw me again, got your pistol. I put permanent fear in your heart like a dimple.
Son, hold my AB, let me rock this nobody. Coming out the closet trying to stop my money. Acting like a tweet cause he ain't see me in the street. Spit that blood out and get back up on your feet. You call me, I was there on some Candyman shit. Wear that ass out in front of your kids and your bitch. Hurt you through the boards, put the temp to your jaw. Walk away, parlay in front of Ahmed.
We don't give a what about you. Tell them niggas who sent you, let them come. Have them all open wide like dentists. Heard they work for cheap, think I might rent you. If you feel I disrespected you, good, I meant it. Nigga, I wish you. Talk about running for guns.
Let your bank head bounce like insufficient funds. Left ass out of home begging like bums. Cut off, swept off the floor like crumbs.
I'm from NYCITY, stay high, lazy eye, ghetto celeb, rap guy from bedside, flashing two lines. Don't need no long rhyme. Losing your attention, taking up your time. I get mine and breathe, bout it like bees. Too many wanna be me. Wanna flow, glow, hold dough like Smokey. Block raw seeds, blow show for BTP. But you can't be, you heard me, you soft like Pirate. You ain't getting money and you have no courage.
Let me ask, introducing the one who gets you bust like a Lucy. Same height, same weight, same fight skills like Bruce Lee. Try me, ready for those who wanna harm me. Don't toy with me, wanna be all you can be, join the army. I swarm like bees, plus thing too. Bring crews, I blow them out like Hanky. Knock you like cops.
For the longest I've been waiting to take it to these Jamaicans. Corner eyeballing on the move that we was making. Thinking that we lost it cause our line was closed. Can't stop a hungry nigga with nothing to live for. I'ma see that dough. Many hustles I know. Three car, long shark, white shark, and C-Lo.
Yo, I think I take this time to remind you not to step out of line. Test mine, crime stoppers won't find you. Before we come kicking your door to the floor, throw you to the wall, making you our prisoner of war. Cut you too short to take walks with tattoos. Attack you from your front, open your back with my scaffold and statue. Niggas from your crew, if they got anything to do with motherfuckers coming back to avenge you, I intend to get down for my temple. Keep a strong mental when dealing with evils that men do. Then move, fail to comprehend. I recommend you remember you're dealing with men who will send you off in the coffin. Cause but too often niggas are getting lost and it's costing body parts from anybody that starts. We pay the hackers, taking rappers apart. Dissect them from they wreck them till they next double check them. Make sure shit's correct and direct them to the section with the session and progression where you come to get blessed by Fifth and West.
These motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, my nigga.
What the fuck? But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.